What is up, everybody? Welcome to the live edition of the Barn Social Hour. I'm your host, Graham McLean. Hunter's still not here tonight. He is still not feeling 100%. So hopefully he gets back quickly. But we got our guy, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, with us tonight. Clearly, if you saw the headline, you saw that five-star quarterback Will Mintzel did not choose Auburn and he chose Oregon. And so the Tigers missed out on that one. And so we're going to talk about a little bit what that means, why we think that might have happened, and where Auburn might go after this. So, yeah, so he just committed within the last 30 minutes.
30 minutes, yeah.
He chose Oregon. Kyle, what do you think could have been the reason here for him picking Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, there could be a number of reasons, but I know – when you really look at it and walk it out, I know everybody's going to want to say, oh, Oregon got money. It's all about money, you know, this, that, and the other. And they do have a ton of it. Don't get me wrong. And if they want a guy and it is a heated battle over money, they're really hard to beat. This one, I don't know necessarily that you automatically want to throw it to be money related. If you really look at their depth chart situation, maybe it worked. It falls out a little bit easier for him for playing time. Like, for example, you got Dante Moore this year. He's done, okay? Then Dylan Raiola, whenever Will Mintzel's going to be a freshman, Dylan Raiola's going to be a senior, okay? And they don't have a lot behind that. So once Raiola's gone, it's kind of up for grabs. So he comes in and sits 1 year, and then it's his. Whereas you come to Auburn, and with the emergence of Tristan Tia, if they hand the reins over to him next year, he's going to be a redshirt sophomore, okay? So, in theory, yeah, he's got a couple more years to play. Now, he could light it up in 1 year and go in the draft. That, I mean, I would say the odds of that are probably low, but it's just it does seem a little bit more clear. And then let's just be honest. This hurts our feelings. Oregon's just a better program right now, period. He's from out there. Oregon's just better than us. I don't know. Hopefully we'll get there, but it's a more attractive program right now than Auburn. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, someone on the message board at the Barn was talking about how Golsh is going to need to win some games to get these types of recruits. I mean, like you said, Oregon just is a better program, a team that's made the playoffs, a team that has had multiple, you know, winning seasons and has produced, you know, quarterbacks at that position. And so, It's just Auburn isn't in a position right now to land these guys when it's not completely about money. And I feel like, you know, with the previous staff, a lot of it was about money, and that's how we were able to get some of these guys. But it doesn't feel like this coaching staff is going to be like, yeah, we're just going to offer you the most money possible to get you here. We want you for other reasons too.
Yeah.
And so Auburn's going to have to, like they said, Auburn's going to have to win some games, I think, before we can start getting those players. And also, like what you said, I think if Tia didn't have the game that he did in A-Day, things look a little bit different. But since the promise that he did show in A-Day, then it just seemed like, oh, wow, like our future could be with Tristan Tia. And so that locks up potentially next 2 to 3 years after Byram of having Tia. So,
And I'm sure that weight that factored in to the decision. I was nervous. I was nervous the whole time with Will. Like, I don't doubt the genuineness, if that's a word, of the relationship between he and Golish and that staff. I know they were on him for a really long time, even at South Florida. But right now, Auburn is just going head-to-head with Oregon is just not ideal. That's not really where you want to be, especially when seemingly – now, again, this is on the surface – seemingly you kind of had a sure thing with Israel Abrams for a time. And I even said, I was like, I hope, you know, I want them to go after the guy that they want, but, you know, I hope this doesn't get to where you have a bird and you had a bird in the hand and you're trying to go for two in the bush and you end up empty handed in both hands. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where we're sitting now. We're going to have to look at, you know, pivoting in, you know, at least some direction. Not sure if that means go get another high school quarterback this year or wait till next year. I'm sure we're going to talk about that pretty in depth here shortly.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of where I want to go next. You know, where does Auburn go, you know, after this? I mean, it like you said, do we not go for a high school quarterback this year? I mean, the quarterbacks that we have on the roster right now all showed some promise at A-Day. So do we not go high school this year and then just, you know, get out of the portal this next offseason and then really focus in on another high school quarterback? I feel like that is probably the best case scenario right now, the most obvious case scenario. I feel like it's just so late in the game to try to find a solid quarterback. I feel like, you know, because teams just feel like they get quarterbacks so early. And you've seen that happen. And like you said, is like someone that we thought was a lock to Auburn, we ended up letting walk. And then, you know, we try to get the next best guy and Will Mensel, and then we didn't finish it there. So where do you think Auburn goes?
So like you said, you got two directions that you can go in. And if you go for a high school guy, which I don't know, at least on the surface, it seems like they might be interested in going for a high school guy because they just offered a new quarterback. He's actually committed to Wake Forest. His name's Gary Chapman. He's from, let's see, where's he from? Snellville, Georgia. Okay. So okay. He's from Georgia. 6'1", 190. I don't know much about him. He is a 3-star, I think, currently on pretty much every site. Got offers from Wake Forest, West Virginia, and those are pretty much his top two schools that have offered him. Everybody else is a little bit lower level. So clearly, like, they're putting some feelers out there for high school guys. I wish, and this is who I wanted, you know, I said I wanted Israel Abrams, but I really liked Jameson Roberts from Saraland. You know, he committed to Oklahoma, and I kept saying, like, why is this guy not highly rated? Like, what is the deal with him? Because he threw for almost 4,000 yards last year in very competitive, in a very competitive classification. He's got the familiarity with Deshaun Spencer. Like, why would he not be an option? He's committed to Oklahoma. There's a relationship there. I think he likes Auburn, but will they pivot and go after him? That potentially could be somebody you flip. I mean, you've had Gunnar Rivers here for visits, Philip Rivers' son, who's committed to NC State. I mean, no real big schools are pushing really hard for him, but I mean, he's thrown for just a billion yards in high school. He would be somebody that you could potentially look at. I think it may still be too early to know 100% what direction they're going to go in, but if you go in the high school direction, you got some options, but hey, you're going to have to flip somebody. It's just you're late. This the first guy, even Gary Chapman is committed somewhere. Like, even he's committed to Wake Forest. So it's not like there's just a whole bunch of uncommitted guys out there. And then what I think's the most likely, and what I kind of hope they do, I love Kingston Puryear in the 2028 class. He's the Benjamin Russell high school quarterback, possibly the transferring to Prattville. We'll see what happens there. I think we're in a good spot in no matter where he goes or plays next year. He's a beast, man. He's already one of the top players in the 2028 class. I think he's, you know, the industry average. He's like 35th in the country. And I've seen him play in person. Very, very impressive. It says he's 6'2", 190. I think he's bigger than that. I think he's closer to 6'3", 6'4", maybe 200 pounds. Really good arm. He's played with some really good players, though, so be curious to see how he shakes, how his season plays out this year. But, I mean, that kid likes Auburn. So, like,
yeah,
that his pathway works with Tia a lot like Will Mensel's works with what's the kid we talked about? Dylan Raiola. So, that to me makes more sense. But I know there's, like, this stigma around having to have a quarterback in every single class. What direction do you hope they go in?
You know, and kind of going off what you just said, the stigma of trying to have a quarterback in every single class, I feel like that right there has become less important over the last couple of years because of the transfer portal. So I wouldn't be like too terribly upset if we just, like, you know, pivot this year's class and be like, all right, we've got Byerman, we've got Tia, let's just not get a quarterback in this class. We'll push hard for a top guy next year. Like, for example, some of the guys you were just talking about, And we'll go transfer portal this next season and get somebody, you know, any age, to fill a spot. So yeah. That I would say that's probably where they could look, just depending on the feelers that they put out, with some of the guys that aren't as highly recruited, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Got a super chat real quick. Okay. Reverend Barn Booster says SEC will see a Tia takeover in 27.
Absolutely.
I can see it happening. I can see it happening. The only thing I worry about not taking a quarterback is, I don't know why, but for some reason, quarterback is like a linchpin of a recruiting class a lot of times, and like wide receivers want to go with a quarterback, even though the odds that they'll actually catch passes from that quarterback are slim to none. But it's almost marketing. Like, I honestly felt like Deuce Knight, I think he's a good player, but he was almost more marketing. Like, getting him was more marketing than anything, because you felt like you get him in the boat, and then like he's has sort of like that aura that other kids want to come play with him, and it would help, you know, bring in other guys. So you just got to find, you're going to have to recruit hard and find guys that doesn't necessarily bother. And to your point, maybe as time goes on, that becomes less and less important.
Yeah. 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 So next thing I kind of want to get into is, there's another announcement coming up this weekend of a guy that Auburn feels pretty good about. That's running back. Is it Meisen?
Meisen Johnson Cook. Yeah.
Meisen Johnson Cook. He's running back out of Illinois, I'm pretty sure. He commits this Saturday, I think that's correct.
Yeah.
And he came on a surprise visit this week, you know, kind of unexpected.
I guess he's still Auburn. Here.
Yeah. From what sounds like.
Yeah.
So yeah, came on a surprise visit this week, hopefully, you know, to finalize a deal or something like that. But how do you feel about this recruitment and Auburn's chances of getting him? I know my Miami fans feel really good about getting him too.
That's a good point. So I felt nothing. Like, I was like, there's no chance we get him until this visit thing happened. And this is like your last visit before, I guess before you announce, unless he hits a surprise visit on the way, you know, back home. He's a beast, man. He's that 6'1", 220 running back that, you know, we ain't really had in quite some time. And the timing of this is just a theory. Okay. Now the timing of the announcement of him coming in for a visit. Okay. I feel like it was shortly after there was a lot of momentum and a lot of talk that Mensah was going to choose Auburn, like at the beginning of the week. Okay. So my theory, and again, I may be wrong, but my theory is the staff wants to make a splash. Okay. And they're not going to necessarily overpay for people they don't feel like is worth it, but they may be willing to drop a bag for somebody that they do feel is worth it and is at a position they're going to need, and also is a higher ranked kid that they can kind of make a splash and build some momentum with. You got George Lamons. You broke the streak of getting commits this past Saturday. You pull this one off the following Saturday. I mean, this is a top 50 player in the country. I mean, that'd be a big, big get. So I think Auburn's fairly confident.
Yeah.
And I'm confident based off of how recruiting works, you know, especially today, it's always for high school, it's pretty much going to be like your last visit. And the whole way this thing shook out, like it was Miami before this week. So a phone call was made, an offer was made, something was thrown out there that made him want to come back to Auburn and check it out one more time. And I think they feel, like I said, I think they feel pretty confident.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's always a good thing to have the last visit for a player. I mean, in high school, you clearly saw that with Will Mensah too. I mean, you know, he visited Auburn not too long ago, but then took another visit out to Oregon and then ultimately made his decision after that visit. So it would be awesome. I think it'd be super important for this staff and Golish to take somebody that, you know, felt that Miami fans felt so good about, and that the country felt so bad, like, oh yeah, he's a Miami guy, he's going to Miami, last second Golish comes in, is like, we want you, we're going to get you. And I think that'd be a massive win for Golish and this staff. I think that'd be awesome.
Oh yeah. I mean, right now, I mean, your big boys are Ohio State, Miami, Oregon, like those schools, yeah. Texas, like those schools have almost infinite funds and they're going to recruit at a really, really high level. And a lot of times if they get their hooks sunk in, it's really, really hard to get someone away from it. So that would be a big feather in the hat of, you know, Golish and staff to be able to pull this one off. And it's going to be a, I don't think this class is going to necessarily be huge. If you really think about the core of the team, they're still pretty young. So, yeah. But I think this is a guy, if it's a 15 person class, this is somebody you're going to want to try to do everything you possibly can. I think he ran something crazy in like the 100 meter or 200 meter dash and track. I heard people talking about it and I can't remember it off the top of my head, so he's but
fast.
You're talking about big and fast. So yeah, I'm anxious to see how that one plays out. I wonder what time he commits. Go ahead. Keep going. And I'll look that
up. So next last thing I was going to talk about tonight, it happened this morning, but I think it was this morning. Auburn got the commitment of Adam Olson, the forward out of South Alabama.
Yeah.
I super, super excited about this. Absolute sharpshooter, averaging 16.7 points per game last year, 4.1 rebounds, and was shooting 40% from the floor. So
40% from three, too.
40% from three. Wow. Yeah. Geez. His 3-point percentage and from the floor is basically the same. So what a massive pickup for Steven. We were kind of talking about before we went live that I'm quite impressed with the class Steven's put together so far this cycle. I was a little worried. It started off pretty slow. It felt like it was big early to get like keep Tahad and keep Overton. But then, you know, you obviously lost some guys, but he did not hesitate bringing in height and bringing in some talent. So I'm super excited about that. What are your thoughts on him?
Oh man, I'm really fired up. Typically when you see big man, a guy that's like 6'8" or above, and then you see high 3-point percentage, my first thought is more than likely he hadn't had a lot of attempts. Like, you know, he's probably like, what, 20 of 32 or something like something, or whatever 40% of that would be. But you look at it, he hit a freaking 102 threes last year. So I looked it up, Graham, and I've said this on multiple shows, but he attempted essentially virtually the exact same amount of threes per game that Bryce Brown attempted in 2019. So
that's
how much volume, that's how much volume he shoots from three.
Wow.
I love jacking threes. I love threes. And hey, Zach's mother had a great Zach Blackerby. His mother had a great line. She called the basketball team coming up. She said it's going to be a lot of trees and threes. So in other words, a lot of tall guys and jacking threes. And I love that.
See that shirt.
I dropped that. I dropped that shirt. I immediately went and created a shirt out of that. That's fantastic. But yeah, that's a big pickup. And then obviously you got your point guard today too. George Kimball the third, which is that's another one that's like mega intriguing because he didn't play last year. You know, he transferred to Vanderbilt and I think had a knee injury and basically didn't play all year. He is a D2 guy and just lit up D2, then transferred to Eastern Kentucky, home of Wendell Green Jr., and was really, really good the 1 year he was there. He scored 18 points, had three assists, you know, per game, shot 35% from three, really, really good. Then got upgraded, went to Vandy, and hurt his knee, and he was out the whole season. I think around January of this year or February, there were some articles where he talked about he was feeling like he was back full speed. So,
yeah,
you were wanting a point guard backup for Tahad. That's really hard to find someone that's okay to come sit behind Tahad. And I think you potentially found a really, really good one if he comes in and he's healthy. And with that length and the shooting ability, I mean, he could even, you know, help out over at two if need be. I don't know that we're going to actually need that, but an experienced guy, I think is a fantastic pickup.
Yeah, he's also be averaging 2.6. He was averaging 2.6 steals per game.
Steals, very, very active.
That is defensive. Very active hands.
That's a Stephen Pearl special right there.
Yeah, and also like if people want to talk about like how like oh well you know that's kind of taking a chance on a guy from a smaller program. Well, clearly an SEC program wanted him. I mean, he went to Vanderbilt to play. Obviously, unfortunately, he got hurt, but. Yeah, I know his stats are coming from the year prior, and so they might be a little different because he was playing a little bit of a lower league. But he was still good enough that an SEC school wanted him, and that SEC school turned out to be pretty decent this last year.
No doubt.
So, yeah, I'm super excited about that. I think that's about all I've got for
tonight. Let's do one more. Let's talk about one more thing, Graham. Let's talk about that. Okay. This Alex Golish, South Florida stuff. What the heck? Who do they think they are? So he said he has this quote, and essentially it was that, you know, I came to Auburn because it's an SEC school and, you know, you can't win a championship at South Florida. And I think I can win a championship at Auburn. That's not that controversial, is it? Is it?
No. Well, let's realize Auburn has actually won national championships.
South Florida hasn't played for multiple and has won.
South Florida hasn't played for or won a national championship.
Not even so close.
That's your proof right there. Like all you needed. That's all you need to shut that down. Now there's so much more you could go into of like, they're completely different sizes. One's playing in the SEC, you know, the greatest conference of college football. The other one's playing in the American conference, which is, you know, a G5. We've won
nine national championships. For the love, yeah,
exactly. And so I don't think it's controversial at all. But the USF fans like took it to heart.
They are so mad.
I was like, guys, like, do y'all expect to win a national championship? Like, I just don't see it.
What's funny is they'll be mad that he left out of one side of their mouth, and then trash him and say he's a terrible coach out of the other side of their mouth. It's like, guys, y'all won four games before he got there in three years.
It was three games. I actually looked today. It was three games. They won like it was like 1-1-1.
It's terrible. One conference game in 3 years.
It's crazy.
Just an awful stretch. And then like there's this talking point that South Florida is just this awesome job and like he underachieved at South Florida. I'm like, where is that coming from? It's horrible. Like it's a terrible job.
I've never seen a fan base like hold on to a coach leaving so long.
And I feel like the little guys get it. And like it's not that much of a blow when a guy like that leaves because you're a stepping stone to something better.
You didn't see from what I've heard, you haven't seen Tulane fans being like, "Oh my gosh, John Sumrall is the worst person in the world because he left Tulane to take a job at the University of Florida." Like, that's a stepping stone to a greater place. And that's how it's always been. And it's become the same way for players too. It's become a stepping stone for them to get to the next level. And that's just what this transfer portal era is going to be. And that's the same way with coaches. It's always been that way. And I think it always will be.
It just blows my mind that they're shocked. Barn Booster says, if Golish wasn't that guy, why Auburn take him and USF tweeting about him like a missed call at 2 a.m.? That's good stuff.
That's facts. They're so upset about him leaving that they just have to trash on him until they're red and blue in the face.
Yeah, yeah. One dude's like, he lied to me. He lied to me to my face. He said we could win a championship at South Florida. Okay, bro. What's he supposed to say?
We're never winning here, but
we can't win here. But I'm going to do my best. No, he's going to tell you. I mean, he's going to try to win a championship. Like, and he's going to be.
Yeah,
he's a super confident guy. But like, give me a break. I don't know where all these hurt feelings have come from. I mean, realize who you are. Okay, yeah. Realize the program you are. At Auburn's worst, you're still not a more desirable place than Auburn. That just is what it is. At Auburn's most darkest period, you're not a more desirable job. You don't even have your
like own state. He chose Auburn's darkest period to probably their best they've ever been.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
And that's saying something about the SEC and Auburn. So
that's all I got to say. That's all I had. I just wanted to touch on that really quick.
Yeah, I did see that. That was hilarious. Well, guys, appreciate y'all for tuning into this live edition of the Barn Social Hour tonight. Make sure to go check out all the other shows that the Barn has. And we hope that Hunter is back tomorrow. I think he will be. Y'all make sure to go wish him well, and we will see y'all in the next one. Goodbye.